dealing with two provinces today. We're dealing with two provinces today, Gauteng and Limpopo. I had hoped to start with Limpopo, but they seem to be running late. So we're going to start with Gauteng because they are here. Colleagues will remember that when we were dealing with the first quarter report, we then were not very happy with the performance of three provinces in particular, Gauteng, Limpopo and Northwest. We then agreed that we will do these provinces when they do, when we do the second quarter, they must come and actually come and present to us themselves. We're dealing with the two today, and then the third one we're dealing with it next week, which is Northwest. So Gauteng is here, but there is an apology that is with me from the MEC of Gauteng, who is launching the Montrose Mega City today together with the Premier, so he couldn't make it to the committee. And the HOD for Gauteng is accompanying him on that launch. But nonetheless, there is a team that they have sent to come and do the presentation. They are here with us. They are going to introduce themselves and do the presentation when that time has come. We will then allow the department to open up the DG, to open up and just give a few words, and then we give Gauteng to present.
Thank you, Chair. The team from Department of Human Settlements and Local Government is here from Gauteng. And the acting CEO is going to lead us in making that presentation. She's accompanied by the team. They will introduce themselves. I'm not going to introduce them. We also ask that head of the operational role from the province, Nathan Shaban, sorry, Nathan Shaban, must come and accompany. You will recall, Chair, that when we came to present to you early this year, you asked the National Department of Human Settlements to work closely with the province. We have been meeting regularly on a monthly basis with DDG. The Shabani was leading from our side and working very closely with the AGOD. I don't know how many meetings that they had together, but I've also met with the AGOD regularly, and I've met with the MEC as well. I've been having monthly meetings with the MEC and the AGOD. We think that they will be able to turn the corner ahead, and they will demonstrate that in the presentation. The operational world is working, and they will speak for themselves. I've asked them to demonstrate as well a little bit as to how they run the world, and talk to that as well today. Some of the projects that are kicking in now, like the one that the MEC is launching today, those are mega city projects. And because the majority of them are at a planning stage, my fear is that once all of these big mega city projects kick in, the biggest challenge for Gauteng will be how to manage the cash flow, because they are big projects. If you look at all the 14 mega city projects that we've looked at, on average, they will be delivering about 14,000 to 15,000 units. Which then means that at any given point in time, they will have to make sure that they keep their eyes on the cash. projects that are running already. They are big projects. Lahore, South Hills, Riverside, Seven, and others. Those are projects where you have contractors assigned. Big contractors, not small contractors. And these are big projects. The between the HOD and GTG and Shabani, they have agreed that they will look at those projects and upscale on them. And I think they still will be touched on some of them. The MEC and myself, we talked as well yesterday about some of those projects. If you look at Flahof, for instance, which is in the city of Johannesburg, Flahof can deliver up to 900 units per annum. But as things stand, I think they have only contracted to deliver about 200, plus minus 200, you see. And again, that's a cash flow management strategy. It's not to say that you can upscale. They will talk to those issues. But I've just asked the team to demonstrate what has happened before and what is happening now, and also to take everyone and the portfolio committee into confidence that things are happening. There are still areas of risk which we are keeping our eyes and finding mitigators for those risks. So, Chair, without wasting time, I'm going to ask the team to lead us with the presentation. But before we do that, let me ask the CEO to introduce their team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Petri. As they are still struggling with technology. Are you fine now? Okay. Thank you. So don't behave like a normal problem. Thank you so much. Let's then hand over to the team from Gauteng.
Thank you, Chairperson. And good morning, members. Good morning, DG, and good morning, colleagues. My name is Oliswa Makhalali. I'm the acting DG in the Housing Development of Women segment. I am with Bendy Dubengo, who is the regional head in Ekurhuleni, and DG Nompumlo Ngwenya, who is the DG Strategic Management in the Department of Women segment. We also have Ms. Elishabe Rambedi, who is in the office of the HOD. As mentioned by the DG, helping us with the warrant. Thank you, Chair. I will then begin with our presentation for today. That is our table of contents, what we are going to be talking about, some of the issues DG has already spoken about, the historic performance. We want to then be able to link our historic performance to our performance in the past quarter and going forward to this quarter. So we'll have those points up to the status of the financial status in the department. Chair, we want to talk about that historical graph as it shows in the previous years from 1996, 1995 when government started. The graph is showing going up and some downs around the 1998-2001, but it also goes up in the previous years, maybe 5 years, it has been going down. And I think that has been the concern of government and concern of the department. But as we can see, even now, the red part will be showing that we are improving and we are starting to have the graph going up. And also, we are also showing the financial years of budget, and we are also showing those with that graph. That graph, whilst it's starting very slow, but it's continuously on the financial part going up. And this is what then the department is looking at to say what has been happening in the previous years, how then are we improving in those previous years where we've been going down as the department on our deliverables. In the past quarter, we have not performed well, but then We looked at our quality assurance and all the processes that are concerned. And also you had to look at the supporting areas in the department, which was your supply chain, your contracting on the legal services, beneficiary management, and IT information. Of course, all of those, they lead to the actual delivery of houses and the core business processes, which will end to the handover of the houses. So we had to look at those, and that has been done. Here, we also want to indicate what were the challenges, like we have identified on the planning of the project and project implementation, and what is it that we have done since the last quarter. On the planning and project implementation, we had to then do the budget realignment. DG has spoken on those issues. For example, on the projects that we think they are not performing, from the projects that are not going to be delivering at the present moment, we then had to shift and remove those funds and move them to the performing projects. And that has been done. Those are some of the actions that we have taken through, but also is to plan and rework our business processes and ensure the better planning for the next financial year so that the challenges that we have in this financial year are not repeated in the next financial year. We also have a focused provincial team that is established to deal with the bulk challenges. Housing is challenged with bulk infrastructure in all and most of our regions, especially the West Rand. So all those areas are being dealt with in that provincial task team. Some of the issues we talk about. Some of the areas that we had challenges on was the NHBRC enrollment, because these are the areas that we had to identify. And we are proceeding with those NHBRC enrollment because they are a challenge. You know, projects will get stopped if we have not enrolled our projects. And of course, it will then delay our delivery. But key other issue on the project implementation was to ensure that we align our HSDG and the USDG from what the municipalities grant and our grant, so that then we can maximize our development. Previously, you would have municipalities planning on their own what they are doing and us moving the other direction, but those areas have now been integrated. Supply chain management issues that we had looked at as well, all the supply chain issues we managed to conclude, because they would have contracts delaying, and we had to then deal with all those areas and ensure that we procure in advance so that when we say the project is ready, the project is actually having a contractor and the contractor is on the ground. Contract management, some of the challenges that we had was our contracts that were expiring, and all those we managed to deal with them, and we are enforcing to ensure that when the contract is expiring, it is renewed if it's supposed to be renewed, and the contractor is taken off-site, it is not supposed to be going there on-site. And the other big issue that we have was, of course, the payment of the contractors, and we are now ensuring that whilst we have the timelines of the 30 days, we are also working on the provincial days, which is we should pay our service providers within 14 days. We are striving towards that. The other areas would be to beef up on our project management capacity, chairperson, and some of those areas, that is what is leading, of course, to the war room, and where Mr. Rampage is also assisting us. Public participation, communicating and telling the communities where and what projects are going to be taking place, and we are working on this particular area. Monitoring and evaluation, and proper project monitoring and evaluation. We've got a unit as well that deals with these issues, but all of us are supposed to attend to this particular area. So those were the challenges and the actions that we're taking as a department. Chairpersons, we have thought that we should just add on the slide just to indicate to yourself what are other interventions that we are dealing with as a department as part of the challenges I know that it was not, this is the only slide that we added that is not on your presentation. But basically it's to say in Gauteng there are hotspots and protest areas and what is happening in those present areas. I'm not going to go into details, just to say we know that in the southern townships in Johannesburg, your Emmerdale, El Redondo, Fine Town, and the City Lane areas, there have been several protests, and people in those areas basically are needing houses, and some of them are even saying that we are prepared to accept the service, and that's what they are saying to the MEC. But in this particular area of the southern towns in Johannesburg, there is an intergovernmental committee. Some of the steering committees are led by the DDG, and we have steering committees of course in Gauteng to do the actual work to identify land and to also then plan on those areas. We have already dealt with land identification. We're working with HDA in the land identification. Beneficiary administration in those areas has been done because most people were not on the database. Some of the issues that are hotspot chapters in are the bonded houses and people that used to have bonded housing and that either at work they've been dismissed or they don't have jobs anymore and the banks are taking those houses. I think it's a big challenge in the area of housing because those people are coming back to the queue so that then they can be assisted by the department. There's been some of the challenges in the department already as people are saying that you need to assist us and some of them of course they had received part of the subsidy which would have been 9,000 probably up to 12,000. So those people are coming back, they are challenged, there's a tiny number in Gauteng. So those are some of the challenges that we have. We are also listing the Transnet properties, which is linking to that chapter, because people that were working for Transnet are coming back to us. They are making some of the examples that in other provinces, these people are being paid or their properties are being taken over, and therefore that should be uniformed and also applied to housing. So those are some of the challenges that we have, and we thought we should highlight them. We also are dealing with issues of invasion. In housing, the invasion of land, I think it has been in the news in the past weeks. But the MEC has then established a team led by COCTA to then be able to deal with the invasion and develop the strategy. One of the areas that we have is the invasion of houses, but in that area, what we have done as province is to ensure that we are able to build a house and allocate the owner immediately, and we even say even before the house is completed, then we say to the owner, you look after your house, just to be able to avoid the issues of invasion. Chair, the issues of the community residential unit, we just want to say we are changing the strategy. We had a policy of the CRU, but because of the fact that people can afford to pay in those CRUs and the conversions that we have made, so we have then, with the MEC, changed the way of building so that we have the RDP walk-ups. We call them RDP walk-ups, and the MEC is already starting to, in fact, has started communicating, even on this Friday, then communicating with the hostel residents and the leaders in that sector so that then they can also communicate. There's some many of the other areas that the MEC is addressing on the hostel. But I think the difference is that you are able to do giveaways where giveaways are supposed to be happening, but also to deal with the strategy of allowing people to be able to get to the RDP houses, those that of course qualify. The matter of the Friendship Town, Chairperson, we're raising it here, but we know that it was raised in the last meeting, and we are still saying that the matter is still sub judice. The HOD and the department, they are working on this matter, and and there has been appointment of lawyers that are supposed to be dealing with these issues. So there's details that the department is working on, because the matter has, as discussed here, you know, the property has moved and moved on different times. Chair, when we get to the summary of our performance, as the department, we have spoken about our war room, we have spoken about what we're doing every Monday. The war room, first every Monday, it comprises of the DDGs, the CFO in the department, and of course, Mr. Rampedi from the office of the HOD, as we have indicated. This is how our graphs look. This financial year, our plan is to deliver 32,000 units, and we are presently saying we are at 63% of that on our foundation. The graph is up and over the 50%. We are also looking at the wall plate, which is just a little bit up. We want to be able to take the last part of the roofs and finishes, at least to be over the 50% mark. But of course, these we tend to work on the foundations, and we tend to be very slow on the finishes. But the actual performance right now, when we talk about the finishes, up to date, we will be at 15,024. That's actual, of course, combined, as I'm going to be explaining how do we get to the 15,024, but that's up to date. Chairperson, we are indicating some of the units that we are adding on the number that you're talking about. For example, you've got social housing units, you've got the individual subsidies. We are indicating those numbers. What are those numbers? And the split open market, we are indicating what numbers are coming from those programs. We're also indicating the numbers for HDA. The reason we are putting these numbers separate is because these numbers are coming from the previous year, because we have given money to HDA, but we still have to manage that, even if this year we have not given them any money. So these numbers will then be adding to the number, the 15,000 that we have up to date. Chairperson, the war room and the intervention by the national department that led to this, we then planned that we'll have these weekly meetings, Monday meetings. We have also, as a team, then looked at how many weeks are remaining since the first quarter, and what is it that will make us deliver the 32,000 units. And then we looked at dividing and then ensuring that all of us as the province, if we are able to deliver 1,500 units a week, we will be able then to get to that number. And therefore, in this slide, we are just showing what we are able to do. We're dealing with how many foundations each week, how many wall plates each week are done, and how many finishes in each week. You will see that our numbers differ according when you get to the FUR. Sometimes our numbers are better, sometimes we only deliver about 140 in a week, because it depends on what do we get in that particular week. That will be your Monday to Friday delivery. So this is what we are checking week after week, each region, and then we pull those numbers together as the province to say what is it that we have done. This is a summary of the performance on the service stands. We're checking your top structure, we're checking the service stands as well. We have not been doing very well here. We are planning with all the regions. These are the numbers of different regions. We have about 17,010, but we are only at the percentage of 19%. We are noting that. We will also show this on our graph chair, but some of the challenges is the fact, of course, that you need to do more services before you can then get your services certificate. So we are hoping that each and every other week, as we manage, we will be able to deliver on these numbers. So this slide is showing how are we doing comparably from the previous year and this year. So we decided to also, as part of the war room and the reporting, to look at how are we doing in this particular financial year. We are aware of also what happened in the previous year, which led also to the first quarter non-delivery that you spoke about. But of course, if we compare this today, this time in the previous year, and this time this year, we think there's a lot of improvement. Our graph is going up. By October, we have about 11,997 units. And in the previous year, 2017, at this time, we're at 5,073. So we are basically tracking month by month all those deliverables. The addition, Chair, of the numbers that we have not counted, that we are not counting month by month for HDA, which is the housing units that I spoke about, are shown in that graph, because up to now we are at 11,000, but with the addition of those numbers, then we are counting 13,257. And we're still tracking that with the 573 in the previous year. Satisfied? This is where our graph is not really moving properly. We started, you know, with that flat graph where there isn't a show of what is happening, because in the beginning of the year we had those zeros, but we are starting to go up. But again, we had a flat. But if we are comparing the previous year today, which is October, we have 3,912. And the previous year we were at 3,640. There's not much of improvement. If we were to look at the previous month, of course, we would be much later. So we are saying, Chairperson, the housing opportunities with our service banks and our top structures housing units combined, we would then be at this 15,979, and therefore as we project going forward, we are saying if we are able to be at this point, therefore counting in every week as we report, and we will then be able to meet the numbers that we have set for ourselves. One of the important areas of the war room, Chair, is the fact that even in those meetings, it's not only officials that are count. We come together as the municipalities, we come together as the agencies that are implementing for the department. We are also able to call the contractors and all the other service providers that are in our space, so that they come and account. This is a comparison again on the previous year, what we targeted and what we're targeting as the housing opportunities in this financial year. At the end, we are looking at, we are also, like in all the other slides that we're talking about, we're tracking from a particular year up to date, and to then show the difference of what we have done up to this far. So we are basically saying the department, we have the controls in place, and we are going to be able to deliver on this money. So this slide just shows the numbers as validated. I want to just focus on what we've done in this particular quarter. We have targeted that we will deliver 8601 as the housing unit in this particular quarter, but we've only managed to deliver 6194. And the stands, we've managed to improve on the stands. 1,982. So I'm just going to focus on those ones. And we, of course, we also track the variance of what are we still left with. This is also a progress slide, Chairperson, but of course this one then will add our social housing as I've spoken on those graphs that we had and what is supposed to be happening with the fleet and the open market. So basically delivery today would be at 10,042, and those numbers, like I said, Chairperson, it's just on our deliverables, excluding other numbers like HDA that I have spoken about. I'm not going to talk on this slide, but this slide will then be differentiating our program, because we report according to programs, the integrated residential development program, what we have done in this quarter, so in that area, but our numbers will still be adding up to that final total. Chairperson, we'll get to the title disc program in the department and talk about the target that we have set for ourselves, which is 55,552, and what we've done in the first quarter, of course, as it shows. But we want to concentrate as well on the second quarter and say the actual delivered in the pre-1994, because that's how we separate and differentiate them. We have delivered 899, and in the post we have delivered 8,750. And therefore, where we are at the present moment, we'll be having about 13,610 title deeds. Chairperson, the challenges that we had have improved a lot, because of collaboration with the municipality and the fact that at times when you're supposed to sign those documents that need to be lodged, there are now improvements, because the municipality will put more people in those areas so that then we can be able to lodge and have the title deeds. But also some of the challenges that would relate to our planning processes and, you know, the differences of the fact that right now the municipality will be saying, if in those old townships, if you don't have roads, you cannot then have that township as established. Those issues, UNEC is also dealing with together with the mayors, so that we can then concentrate and also deal with those houses that are there and probably where people already stay, yet we didn't have the township establishment, but they will not allow because of the new planning processes. But also the other challenges that the department is dealing with is those beneficiaries that have their parents deceased, but they are still on our database. So the MEC has then initiated discussions with the Minister to then decide on how then we are dealing with all those issues. But I think key here is that the numbers are at 13,610. We also know, Chair, that there are processes of townships that have not been established. So there is another process parallel to this one that has to do with the township establishment, so that then we can be able to upscale in the coming years, and then probably we'll then be able to meet our target. The 12,029 numbers, as reflecting here, Chair, are the packages that we have at hand. these are the ones that are available and can be handed over to beneficiaries. We also have a program of the mining towns. We want to indicate also on this that there is money that is transferred to the mining towns, Randfontein, on how much, and listed are the actual projects that are being delivered in those areas. You have, for example, in Western Area Borwa. So here we are putting all the projects that are in the mining towns, but of course there are projects that are implemented by the municipality with the money. money that we are transferring to them. You have the Mutlakeng, you have, of course, the issues of the bulk water supply and the sewer rehabilitation in this area. In Mokgala City as well, we have transferred about 20 million, and they have your Dr. Bitularos and the Dr. Montanas, where they are doing services, and they are planning also for the top structure. Kaheso 13, we've got numbers there, about 500 that we've done already on the stand. And the Kaheso 12, for example, it's a project that is ongoing. We're only counting right now the 26 housing. I think the key here is that as you transfer money, you are able to manage it, and you are able to then link it to the projects that they are supposed to be delivering. We are mentioning also the Mansonville project, which is Mansonville Extension 9, which is happening in Mokgale. The challenge with that project is that, of course, we had to be stopped in the previous year because the area is sloppy, and already we have put services and we have put the slab so that we can then build houses there. But then NHBRC said we need to deal with the roads and stormwater again, because otherwise the houses that will be on the lower part will then get affected. That project, Chaperton, is we are going to then have a contractor, but we are starting with the contractor for roads and stormwater. So we are already appointing and in the process of appointing those contractors so that we can deliver. In Mirakom, we have transferred 48 million, and that deals with the projects that we are also mentioning here, Lukusong, and some of the OC Extension 6 projects. This is just the reflection on what was identified as challenges, and just to indicate that we are doing the enrollment with NHBRC and what are the projects that we have already enrolled in this particular quarter. Chair, we also want to indicate in the slide of the money that we have transferred and what are the deliverables in each of the projects. Here we're tracking what we transferred in the previous year, but of course we want to stay with what we have transferred to the municipalities and gazetted in this financial year. We have gazetted about 145 to the municipality of Joburg in this financial year, and that has been transferred, and the numbers there, as they submit claims, what has gone through already will be the 125, and then there's a remainder of that amount, of course, that they are still supposed to be submitting claims for. In the city of Tshwane, in this financial year, we've gazetted 90 million, and it is on process of being processed separately to the municipality. There were several delays here because it's issues of us signing the agreement, because we didn't send money without those agreements linking to projects. In Ekuruleni, we have transferred 41.2 million, and all of that has been transferred to the municipalities. In Merafong, the same, and in Mokgale, we have transferred that amount, which is 50 million as well. And the last one would be Randwick City. Here we also have implementing agents, which is GTS in the previous year. That's the amount that we have transferred. At the time of reporting, we have not transferred to GTS, but we will show the slide of what is planned for this financial year. In the previous year, 2016, to the Housing Development Agency, we transferred 400 million, and this year we didn't transfer because they are still working on reporting on those units. This is the quality assurance report. I'm just going to go over it. And this is an indication of what has been contributed by each of the implementing agency from April to 20 October. So I'm just going to talk on the second quarter and our delivery today. In the second quarter, as the department, we had delivered 32% of our budget. And of course, like we had indicated, it will be coming from the previous first quarter where we didn't do well at all. But we are now reporting that today, which is October, we are at 40%. It is still less than the 50% that is expected in the second quarter. But we are also counting the claims that have been submitted and that are en route, which is about 300 million. That if those are paid, then it will then put us in a higher percentage. This also, Chair, just indicates per region how we are doing on the 5.5 million billion that we have as the department. This slide, Chairperson, indicates exactly what we have budgeted for each municipality and what we have transferred to them and what is outstanding. The last column would be the claims that still need to be submitted to the department, and that 19 million has been submitted. Is one of the monies that are on process right now. And the city of Tshwane, on the delays that we have, all those issues have been dealt with and they've submitted that claim of the 90 million. So it's one of what is on process. Rand West as well, that 11 million is on process already. So that's the total of the money that we are transferring to the municipalities. But I must say that because it's the second quarter and we had to also review, the DG spoke about the numbers and the amount that we are sending to different municipalities. So in Joburg, we have also then regazetted 347 million specifically on the projects that UDG has raised. So in Joburg, by the end of the financial year, we would have gazetted 305 million. Southern Partnership Funds, Chair, these are the projects that are mega projects that you are talking about. This is the money that would be allocated on those projects. But this amount that is here, Chair, was, of course, before we then reviewed on what UDG was talking about, that we had to take some of the money and put it on the projects that we think we will be getting money, we will be getting more units, and then move those to that, and then, you know, limit the mega project because they are still, you know, on the beginning with your sense and the planning. So this amount here would has actually gone down on the review that we have done as the department. The HDA, as it reflects here, we didn't transfer any money to them in this financial year. Chairperson, thank you very much. I think that's it.
Thank you very much, Gauten team. I must say at least the report is much detailed and it tries to deal with some of the issues that we were concerned with. Of course there are still gaps, but it is a good work in progress. Probably before I say my comments, let me hear from the honorable members what they think, and maybe if they've got any clarities and questions to raise. Welcome to the MEC of Limpopo, who has just joined us, Honorable Gerindo. At the time that we deal with Limpopo, you will get to know him, those that don't know him, but welcome, sir. I'm looking at you, Honorable Member. I know that there are people that there is no way that they can speak on this report of how they. Honorable Stoll, I know there is no way that you can't have anything to say. Can you raise your hands, Honorable so that I can point on you guys? Honorable Horai, followed by Honorable Stole, Honorable Stole Malati, Honorable Gatine.
Thank you very much and at least it shows that the province is taking a better road there. But also thanks for the province that this is what we call a war room. I think it's so important that we'll be able to report better because of that voucher that they've just said. The presentation never covered the military veterans. Can we just get a brief of the military veterans? I don't see the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Horan. Honorable Stoll.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for presentation, but I appreciate the details of the report. It shows that there's some improvement. But the first one, Chairperson, that I have a concern about is the coordination and consultation between the municipalities and the province. Because it seems that when you check the report, there's some indication that there's some challenges between the metros and the province, although they say there's some improvement. But I have a concern, Chairperson, because when it comes to CRU, they are still in that condition. There's no changes. This week I was doing door-to-door at Katlehong. You can't enter Mazibu because of condition, of bad condition. What are other things that I want to find out about the informal settlement that you removed from Barso Day to Debito? Because there is no water there. Only the tests that are in the space actually are not enough for the people that are living in the area. We were running social marathon when we crossed those informal settlements are still in that condition.
Did you finish the race?
Yes.
Did you finish the race?
Yes,
okay.
I'm still worried. What are they presenting here are not actually, some things are not happening. So what I want to find out, the IDRC, what is happening? Who's coordinating the IDRC? And the other thing that I want to find out, Chairperson, because they say there's some strategy to turn around the project that are happening. Okay. But what I want to find out, do they have the mechanism or system that will help them to prevent what happened before? Because if you see the understanding of Kaltain is actually the crisis. Because all these years we have a rollover from the municipalities. My conventional person now, City of Johannesburg, it never has this rollover. What is happening now in City of Johannesburg? Because before, it never happened. The city that was always performing very well. But now things are not happening. What is happening? So I'm asking the coordination, the coordinators, to actually help those municipalities. And the last one, Chairperson, is that one of the Ewuruleni chair. Not because I'm coming from Ewuruleni, even Chairperson. But things are not happening. The capacity, what I want to find out about the capacity at Ewuruleni. What is happening? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tole. Honorable Food. Not just
thanks.
Not because you are coming from Joburg.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think from the onset we should welcome the presentation. One thing that's very clear is it's very detailed, and I think it tries to show, you know, the efforts that has been, you know, put in place from the administrative side of things and just, you know, closing those gaps. But I have two areas of interest. One is, and maybe this will be fair directed to the department, to just get their sense now as to, since the intervention that was made, and their assessment of, you know, the status of the recovery plan at this stage, given the amount of work that has been put in place. Is the department now, you know, what is the department's actually position on, you know, the performance of the province in the intervention, and linked to that is their position on the recovery plan? Because the key aspect to this was, you know, it was identified at a time that, you know, there's underperformance and there has to be intervention, and that seems to have influenced the presentation, the way it's structured and the way it seeks to, you know, provide the information. It seeks to answer those questions that we raised with regards to their performance. But also to the department itself, and this is to the Gauteng Provincial Department, is I get the sense that, you know, many of the gaps that are being filled in here did not arise out of, you know, a sense of dereliction or anything, because it would seem that they had a grasp of what the issues are. Perhaps, you know, and I don't want to speculate as to what could have contributed to that, but the way the presentation is also structured seems, you know, to portray once again that there is a clear understanding of where the gaps were in. And linked to that arises the question as to why did it have to take the intervention for that to arise, if there was any need for additional help. Did the situation have to get so dire for the department to then realize that we may have dropped the ball elsewhere? And just lastly, I want to get a sense, because from the acting DG, the comment around the issue of, I'm sorry if I got the title wrong, but from the presenter, to be more accurate, the comment around the compliance with, you know, the 30-day payment period of contractors vis-a-vis the province-owned, you know, deadline in terms of 14 days. I just want to get absolute clarity, because there's a difference between we are striving to do this within 14 days, as the comment was, to we are doing this within this period, which, you know, is compliant with the national department standard, and which is what, you know, the current national expectation is, so that we can judge you on the accurate thing, you know, so that there is no room for speculation, because we want to base our interaction with you based on, you know, concrete facts that come out of what you are saying. So can we get a clarity as to what is the actual performance? And since the intervention has been put in place, you know, what is the turnaround? Because it is all well fine to present, you know, this picture as is, but we want to get a sense of, okay, prior to the intervention, this was the performance level. Now, since the intervention, or as of last week, or when the presentation was made, this is the gradual difference that we are seeing as a result of these measures that we've put in place. So that beyond words, we are able to see results. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malaz. Honorable Ngatime.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me thank the Gauteng for giving us this elaborate presentation. Since we met them, they were having a lot of problems and challenges. I'm happy to hear that out of that they came out with plans. More especially the one that I will appreciate is the war room that is the meeting of the CFO and PDGs on a weekly basis to check on their progress. That is very much progressive. We thank you very much for that. It shows that you acknowledge your challenges and you are willing to recover them. My question will be on the presentation. You make mention of the bonded housing, mentioning the people that have lost their jobs and then they are coming back to queue, and those are the people that have already got their subsidies. Whether you are having a plan on that challenge, and maybe you can share with us how are you dealing with that matter. And the other issue I want to check with you, with the issue of the people of Township Town. The last time they came to Parliament, they were furious and there were petitions that were made. How far is that matter and how did you deal with that matter? And again, I'll go again to the issue of the military veterans. That is not shown on the report, but I know you have a report on that one. If when you are responding, if you can tell us how many, because we know Gauteng is having a lot of them. How many do you have and how many have been approved? How many houses have you built for those military veterans? The other challenge, the issue of the title deed, you mentioned about the title deed, and on that one I want to check with you, on those ones that you have already issued, checking with the municipality, have they already sent those title deeds to the rightful owners? Because we often hear that title deeds are being issued and they are staying there in the municipalities, the people are not getting them. If you can tell us how do you deal with that matter. You also mentioned again the issue of the invasions. Can you please share with us how do you deal with this invasion, especially these people that are staying in the informal settlements? When you are servicing land, they come in and invade. How do you deal with those issues? And lastly, the issue of contractors. We have heard that you are dealing with the issue of paying them in advance in 30 days. And the contractors are sometimes failing us because they don't complete their projects in time. Whether you are dealing with the issue of capacity, because some of them, they don't finish the project because they are failing to do so, because they lack capacity. Whether you do have a problem or challenge in terms of capacity. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members, and welcome to the Limpopo team. I saw them coming in. I think I do want to agree with the members that the report is better detailed, and it tries to deal with some of the issues that we have raised with the department when we were discussing some of the your poor performance. And there are certain errors that I just want clarity on. The first one is that in your report, you're talking about the alignment of the two grants, which we had raised as one area that is important. So you've mentioned it in your report that the HSDG and the USDG, you're trying to align it. I think this question is linked to what Honorable Sithole raised in terms of the working together with the municipalities. How is that going? Is it well received? Is there a structure that is dealing with that to make sure that that alignment is practically taking place? If you can probably unpack it for us a little bit more, we would appreciate. the second part is that in your delivery value chain, I think it's early in your report, at the end of that value chain, you say when you hand over a house, you want to hand over a title deed. Now, which is a very good thing, because that's what we've said. And that's what we say, if that can happen, we wouldn't be having a backlog of title deeds. How is that going? Is it practical? And if it is not, what are the challenges that are making it not happen? Because I think even other provinces can learn from this practice, because it's a best practice. So we just want to have a sense then that, is this happening? That when you are handing over a house, you are actually handing over a title deed. I think the third part for me, it's more like a clarity. I think members have raised this. It's a policy, it's a government policy that contractors must be paid in 30 days. You're saying we just want to have a clarity. Are you saying you want to strive to pay them within 14 days? Yet you are meeting the 30-day period, so that we have a clarity on that. So that we understand that the 30-day period is not a challenge, but you would want to do quicker than that by paying them in 14 days, so that we have a clarity. Maybe you can just clarify that more. You have transferred 400 million to HTA in the last financial year. And in your report, you say HDA is supposed to contribute 1,260 units of your total delivery. Now, I'm not sure, because somewhere in the report, there's a place that says HDA has delivered about 881. Can you confirm that, so that we... that 881 that we see in the report, does it talk to the 881 of this 1260, so that we understand, so that we clear on what we're doing, and therefore we don't bash HDA unnecessarily so, and yet they are delivering, and therefore if HDA has delivered 881 of the units, we could have a sense where, in which probably region that 881 is, so that we are able to see, we don't actually start to say there is progress, there is improvement from the department in terms of regions, and yet you have relaxed, it's only HDA that is delivering these units. We just want to have that sense. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm a bit concerned. In the report on the service stand, there's a big zero sitting on Johannesburg. I don't know if it's me. Overall, the service stand program looks very bad. But then, bad as it is, but Johannesburg is sitting with a zero. Now, that is going to be linked from exactly what Honorable Stoller raised as well, and what I raised. How do you then have a zero if, in terms of the alignment and trying to have a good working relationship, good, intergovernmental relationships with the metros, you have a metro that is so challenged, that is sitting with us. Maybe we can get a clarity there. I might be wrong. I might have read the report incorrectly, but I think I saw a zero on the service stand. In Johannesburg, maybe I missed a one or two in front of that zero, maybe it's 2,000, but I think I saw a zero. So I just need that clarity there. One area that I want to appreciate is that when we were doing oversight in Gauteng in 2015, the issue of the bulk infrastructure we raised very sharply. And we raised it particularly in the West and around when we were dealing with the mining town. Now, of course, we should appreciate the fact that it is coming sharply in the report that you are dealing with it. Well done. And I don't get a sense Maybe we need to have I think there's a committee or there's a team that is trying to deal with this, but you are not telling us in detail. If you can just try a little bit more to explain to us, because this is one area that is becoming a challenge. Even the National Department can come in here, because this is not only in Gauteng that we come across these challenges. When we were in Mpumalanga, the same thing, we came across it. When we were in KZN, when we were in Free State, the issue of the bulk infrastructure is always a challenge. So probably whilst I see that it's in the report of Gauteng, we would want to also hear from the department what other mitigation areas that they are trying to do to deal with this challenge, particularly around this thing. In the report, I think what you were saying in the report when you were dealing with challenges, honorable members will remember that at some point we dealt with petitions, and those petitions were mainly coming from Gauteng, and one of those was about Friendship Town. And I think there's a question that has been asked about Friendship Town, but in the report there's a sentence that says Friendship Town sub judice. Now we just want, I don't want us probably, without putting them on the spot per se, I think the issue of Friendship Town, us as the committee, let us agree that it must be an item on the agenda, because when we dealt with those petitions, we had agreed that we are not dealing with Friendship Town because there was still work to be done, both by the provincial department and the national department. So they need to come back to us as a report, because if we are going to deal with it now here in this session, we are going to miss a lot of areas, because it must be an item that they come and present, because we had allowed it to stay over in that meeting because they still had work that they were dealing with. So I think for me, rather than them saying in the report sub-judice, they must come back and actually present to us the work that they have done so far, as we had agreed on that meeting, because we did not deal with the issue of Friendship Town in that particular meeting. We said they must come back. So I thought it's important for me to raise those issues. I'm going to allow the team to respond, but also after they have responded, then we allow the department to come in. I don't know whether they want to come in first or allow you want to come first. Okay. Let's allow the DG to come in and then the team to respond. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I will take the more high-level questions and ask my colleagues. This is a question about why it took Gauteng so long to get initiated in this process. We probably, I'm better pleased with an accounting officer to respond to that question. I think, Chair, we've said it before that Gauteng has had 5 year duties over the last 5 years. In 2012, Mr. Nyani left, then you had an active duty, Mr. Mogani Mori, who was after that replaced by Mr. Mazimu. And we had Daniel Molokom acting as an AGD, and now we have the current AGD. When you change accounting officers frequently, it tends to have a bearing on the functioning of the organization. And that's what we've been experiencing, lack of stability at an executive level, lack of stability at a strategic level, which makes it difficult to initiate and sustain programs. But we can comfortably say that there is that it is done. We have an AGD who was appointed, not acting in the MEC, coming into this particular portfolio for the second time. He's very much familiar with human settlement matters. So we're very comfortable with the stability, at least at an organizational and management level now. There was another question, Chair, which I think is also very important for us to clarify. Whether the money is transferred to the entities, any entities, that money has to perform within a given period. And the best way to measure that is to look at whether it performed on time. Because remember, for instance, HDA, hoping for resolution, HDA was given 400 million rands in the last financial year. And that money, by the way, is money that should have performed in the last financial year, not in the current financial year. But then you can't close the current financial year having without concluding on that 400 million rands. Because if you then close the year, the current year, without finishing and spending that money properly and buy the non-financial products that you want to buy before this current financial year, then it would mean, therefore, that that particular budget is not performing. Because it has to perform. There are timelines, there's quality issues that we need to look at, so it has to perform. In other words, the accounting office of COFI must hold, and I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of the CFO here as well, the accounting office of COFI must hold the receiving entities accountable for getting the budget to perform. And that's very critical, it's very important. In fact, it's one issue that Treasury has been monitoring very closely with us. Because if that budget doesn't perform within the certain given period, then it means that Gauteng is not performing. And I think we've touched on that issue. I'll leave the bulk infrastructure matter to Nathalie Shabani to deal with it. And I also leave the question about whether the province is performing at the level that we want it to perform. I'll leave that question to him. He's been dealing with the province on a regular basis. Safe to say, Chair, that we made it very clear to the team, and that's why we seconded sitting next to me. We made it very clear to the province that you have to manage the human settlements program on a weekly basis. You have to make decisions timely, and that is why you see the program there, that they're tracking this thing on a weekly basis. The ward will meet on a weekly basis so that they can make strategic decisions, new programs, so that the budget from poor performing programs to high performing projects. You have to move the budget from poor performing projects to high performing projects so that at the end of the day you can meet your non-financial targets and your financial targets. In other provinces, they have a program where they would refer to some of the projects as risk indicators. They have projects that you want to categorize as risk indicators. If there's one project that is not performing, there's a slippage in any project, you know how to mitigate that risk of poor performance. And I think the province is beginning to do that now by introducing the world. I will ask my colleague,
thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to members and colleagues in the House. Madam Chair, I suppose we can state to the committee that from the last time we appeared before the committee with the province, we are fairly comfortable that the province is dealing with the issues that it must deal with. What we were concerned, Madam Chair, would recall was the weaknesses in the planning. So at this point, what you've seen in the presentation, we are comfortable that the province has refocused itself on which project, which ward, which municipality, what's the performance of the contractor, what's the performance on the ground. So that weekly tracking of performance is very important. And therefore, we are comfortable. We are not satisfied, but we are comfortable that we are dealing with the right things. Madam Chair, you would recall also that at the time when we raised concern with the province, the issue at the issue at hand was the risk of underperformance and therefore under expenditure. We have engaged extensively, and as the DG pointed out, several interventions, including the deployment and assignment of Mr. Rambedi to support the department, the repositioning of the HDA in respect of supporting the department, but also, Madam Chair, the internal reorganization of the department. We are quite satisfied that the leadership in the department has organized itself to meet the challenges that it must meet. And therefore, Madam Chair, I must then indicate that from where we sit, from the as a department, we are comfortable that we are focused on the right things. Madam Chair, let me hasten also to point out that the recovery plan that is on the table points to two things. Indeed, going forward, we will have much better performance from the province, given the plans that are there. But it also points to the fact that the province, as an increasingly urbanizing province, we've seen the latest statistics and trends from Status A, there's great influx of people into the province. And therefore, the demand is changing. It's no longer the demand that we used to know. The size of the household has changed. The form of the household has also changed. And therefore, the province has to then gear itself to then respond differently to these consequences of urbanization. And therefore, the plans around the catalytic projects, counting as the highest number of catalytic projects, the planning of those, the organization around those projects demands different operational models from the province, and we are comfortable that the province has geared itself organizationally to deal with that. Madam Chair, some of the questions were raised, but I will deal with them because some have national significance. Madam Chair, the fact of alignment between the USDG and the HSDG has been a primary concern of the National Department. We've raised with the committee here that we are taking specific measures to ensure those. Members would recall the minister pronounced in a budget vote that she encourages spheres of government to enter into intergovernmental contracts to ensure that you can achieve this alignment. Alignment doesn't happen by itself. It's a deliberate act. And therefore, we've taken two steps, Madam Chair. We have now introduced what we call multi-sector and intergovernmental human settlements planning and budgeting forum. This is in addition to the quarterly performance reviews that we do as a department. But through this measure, Madam Chair, we are seeking to secure the alignment of the delivery of USDG and HSDG in the metros, in the main. But in other provinces, it is also to ensure that you bring sector departments into the planning and delivery of human settlements, because it's no longer just about housing. Lastly, Madam Chair, this forum sits every quarter. We focus per province, and therefore we believe that this phenomenon of this misalignment will disappear. Already, Madam Chair, in Gauteng, let me come back specifically, we are working on a very specific arrangement between the city of Tshwane and the province to ensure a much more closer alignment between how the USDG is deployed in the city vis-a-vis how the HSDG complements that. We believe that will become a model going forward. Madam Chair, let me also say that the expenditure trends in the city of Joburg are a concern to the department. We are engaging with the city, and we would want to believe that we can gain better insight into the challenges that confront the city. But I suppose, Madam Chair, it may also be useful for the committee to invite the city to account for itself. But on the part of the department, we are engaging with the city to unpack the challenges there specifically. The issue of households that have accessed mortgages and find themselves unable to service those loans, it's not just a Gauteng phenomenon. Perhaps it finds sharper expression in Gauteng given the scale. But Madam Chair, this cannot be divorced from the overall economic performance. You see increasing loans under distress, and therefore what then becomes the response of the state in that regard. We will have to pay specific attention as to how we respond to this difficulty that confronts many households. You see it in the trends, in the national credit regulator trends, credit trends, but also you see it in the increased number of cars, houses, property that is on auction. That tells you that there's distress in terms of households being able to service their credit facilities. Madam Chair, I thought I must touch on those issues and also just confirm that the specific questions about how we perceive the position of the province in this regard. Madam Chair, let me conclude on the questions around bulk. The difficulties and the limitations of bulk infrastructure in Gauteng are such that we have taken a view as a department to support the province in enabling it to meet some of the bulk demands in some of the areas. As an example, we've considered that the department can use 100 million rands towards alleviating the bulk constraints in the Citibank area. That's one intervention. But Madam Chair, this must not be seen in isolation, because you then have to look at overall the financing of bulk infrastructure in the Republic. We do not want to see a scenario where the HSDG is stripped just to deal with the bulk. But that's why we're placing more emphasis on this alignment with the different sectors and different funding streams. We believe, Madam Chair, that structured correctly, the USDG in the metropolitan areas can and should better deal with the question of bulk. And that's why we're placing greater emphasis there. I'll pause there, Madam Chair, in this regard.
Thank you very much, Deputy. Don't you want to deal with the issue of the fair use, maybe? And then allow the CFO to come in? There was a specific question about the fair use from Honorable Stoll. If you can just probably just get in there. I know that they will get into the specifics, but it would be nice to just get a high level.
Certainly, Madam Chair. The community residential program has proven to... There's certainly a need, but we've had to look at the program from two fronts. The cost per unit, but also what we can better utilize that infrastructure for. Now, you would appreciate, and we did report this in the last session, in the last meeting, that what you find is that in those instances, and we've seen a number of these projects coming to a halt. Why? Because the occupants seem to be refusing or resisting the prospects of having to pay rent, given that all along they are not paying rent. The community residential unit model is a rental program. If you're going to occupy the unit, you pay rent for it. Now, those community dynamics are what then the province has had to first resolve, part one. Part two, the province took a view, and the college will then clarify that it may actually meet the needs of those communities, the occupants, better if you shift towards then the BNG units, the walk-ups, which is a slight modification of the model. But you are still responding to the needs of those communities who occupy these. I must admit, Madam Chair, the CRU program is an evolving program. What we meet with on the ground demands that case by case we be able to respond accordingly. And therefore, the modifications that we see in Gauteng attest to that. And therefore, Madam Chair, we stand by the province to be able to support the speedy resolution of those specific cases where CRU program has been held back. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, DG and DTG. Gauteng team, if you can respond to those specific questions that the National Department hasn't responded to. I now know that I'm almost forgetting the CFO. I'll come back to you once they've responded to this question.
Colleagues, maybe just taking from what the DPG is talking about, on that Friday, like I said, Baines is meeting with all the stakeholders on the hostel redevelopment program to obviously also discuss other issues. Chair, for example, in the previous then hostels, you'd have probably people that can qualify for an RPP house, so that then they are able to agree to say we can go to the terrain if there is a house for me. So those particular areas that the MEC wants to talk about. But also the MEC wants to look at the whole of housing. Like we know, there are hostels, of course, that are owned by municipality, but the province is working on. There are also hostels that Gauteng Department of Human Settlement, like your George Koch cluster, is responsible for. But he also wants to say, what are we doing in maintaining, and what are the long-term plans in those particular areas? Because there has been an issue of saying we are not really doing anything, even the maintenance that you are doing with the municipality is not visible. So it's all those plans to say, what are we going to be doing now, and what are we going to be doing in the future? As we said, on, like Divic is saying, on other programs, for example, your Jabulani Hostel, the same CRU, there's no problem there, and people are renting as they're supposed to rent, but also we are also building the RTC workers. But we also acknowledge that there are areas like the Dube Hostel where those units have been vandalized and all of those. But the MEC is also discussing those issues. In the last meeting with Johannesburg, he had said, what is it that we need to do? And they have sent people to then reassess what can be done. The other issues that are coming on those CRUs that have been built already, you need them to downscale. For example, if you had cupboards inside, you take those out, and or you don't continue with that plan, so that then you can then have a certain amount of rental, or you can then agree as government to give those and make them to be given away. So all those issues on the hostel, whether it is in which area, whether it's municipally owned, the MEC is taking that program forward. But key is that we are moving to the RPP walk-up because of the amount. I'm also pulling together all the other hostels that the member has mentioned, your Katlehong ones and probably and your Sithuka ones. That's the plan. But also there's an agreement between the department and the municipality to say in this particular hostel, because of the challenges that are there, they must then pull together that money to be able to visibly show what maintenance are they doing. I think on the hostel, that's what I'm going to be saying, and also saying there is a meeting again with the unity this Friday. Chairperson, I'm going to get to a very critical area, which is medical events, and also acknowledge up front that in the province, we have mostly what we call the institute development, where we are not even looking at, you know, those particular allocations. But on the new development, which where we are building as Greenfield, the National Department has spoken to us that we can allocate the 40 square meters, and when we're building the new plans, we can also then start building the 50 square meters. Our delivery there has not been that good. Our target for the financial year is 667, which of course is built in the whole number that we're supposed to be delivering, Chairperson, because all the projects, our intention is that on the Greenfield we must have a program for the military debt. But for now, we've only allocated to the military debt about 9 houses that are allocated officially and properly. And we have 20 which has been invaded, and the department, of course, is dealing with those issues, whether we will regularize them, those that are military that are there. On the progress, Chairperson has got about 98 units, which are only still to be quality assured, because we need to go through that process before then we can allocate. So yes, our numbers are not that good, but of course they are also integrated in the whole 32,000 that we need to be delivering. I think on the 14 day,
there's a province after you that must be. There's a province that is still coming after you. You are not the only one.
Yeah, on the 30 day, we are working on 30 days, and we are at 96% of meeting all our claims that are that we are paying. But yes, we want to be able to work on the 14 day. If there are any questions that I've left, I think colleagues must then finalize. Thanks,
sir. There's one more question on title deeds that you must deal with.
The title deeds, the 12,000 title deeds, Chair, are available, and they're in the office. The team is wanting that the MEC goes out and actually hand them over, but they are available and in the office.
I think the question was about whether it's doable to
value chain
issue the title deeds when you are handing over yours, which is one thing that we failed to do across the board.
Mm.
It has a lot to do with the entire conveyance arrangement. There is a proposal that the DG Shabana team and the policy team are working on the sequencing of milestones. Remember, for you to be able to issue a title deed, you have to manage those upstream planning processes very tight. We've done a limited of work and evaluation, and one of the findings that we have received is that the conveyances given for you and I, Chair, still a limited first one. You don't get a title yourself if you buy that house through a bank. you don't get a title immediately. Even if you were to pay in cash, you won't get that. There is a lag of about 3 months before you get the title. In the banks, they take a little bit of time before they get it. But we think the study that was done by FNM Marks, which says that we have first world title conveyancing system for third world challenges. For instance, the way we deal with BNG, RCB units, we should be having a special dispensation in that area. Last week we received a legal opinion on how best we can deal with this issue. Once we have opened up townships registers, it should be easy for us to issue a title deed immediately. You don't even have to wait for the house to be complete to issue that title deed. Perhaps what we have to do is to share with you that legal opinion so that by the time it gets implemented, you know how it's going to be operationalized. So we're not there yet. I don't think it's doable. There isn't a single problem that has managed to issue a title deed at the same time as handing over the house. So we still have a long way to go before that action.
Thank you very much. Any other questions that you have? They all been covered?
Thank you, Chairperson, and colleagues. I think the one that we can really point is the Friendship Town project. We have engaged the firm of attorneys that are dealing with this. We've got a report that has been submitted. As indicated by the DDG, the matter is also involved previous officials that have done that were working on the organ of the municipality that was dealing with this issue. We take a note that we should come back and report on this, and we'll be able to do that.
Thank you very much. CFO, I know there's something that you wanted to say.
Yeah, true. Thank you very much, Chair. What I wanted to add is that while we're dealing with housing with extreme report that has led to, we also have those municipalities in the southern town. And I think that also there's more balance issues there as far as housing related matters are concerned. But we took a decision as a department, and members of the board did say to the members that the 2% that we've allowed relocated to address the issues of poverty. But then there's also this matter of the discussions that are unfolding at National Treasury with regards to the MIG 2 cities. And that has actually gone to 70%. Although as a department we have reservations because it taps into the HSBG more than the USBG. So those discussions are still unfolding, they are still ripe and at not later stage though, but we shall come back with National Treasury probably if the portfolio committee or the court there on that issue of the need to switch to secondary talk. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, officials and colleagues. Let's agree that the Gauteng report is quite improved, but there's still more work and there's still more room that they can do better than they are doing. We take note as the portfolio committee about the performance of Joburg Metro in particular. I think we will interact on how we deal with that, and we take the recommendation from the DDG to the Shabane that maybe at some point we need to engage with them and find out what the challenges are. Maybe when we do that oversight of the entities at some point, we might have to tap in and engage Joburg Metro and find out what their challenges are, so that we don't wait until it is very late to assist them. But generally, we will be watching closely the Gauteng, and we do not expect you to go backwards. And we do want to take particular appreciation of the fact that when we raised the alarm as the portfolio committee, the National Department acted. We hear the good work that you are doing, Dateli Shabe, in that war room, and we note that. And we want to then appreciate the fact that when we make recommendations as the portfolio committee many a time, one thing that we have observed is that the National Department takes them to heart, and they really do go and implement them. And that working relationship has made it very easy for us to work together and improve the work that we are doing. Thank you very much, officials from Gauteng, and we will see you when we come to Gauteng unannounced. To come and see some of the things that you're telling us. You can now breathe out. I know you've been holding that breath for a long time. You can breathe out now. Thank you so much. As they vacate their seats here, to allow Limpopo to come to sit on this front row to prepare for their presentation, you can take a 5-minute body break, because so that we don't rush, but don't get out, because exactly in 5 minutes we are starting. We're just changing chairs, what we call musical chairs. That's all we are doing. So Gauteng can come here. The MEC, the HOD, and the presenter must come to the front. These two chairs, they are yours. You've got three provinces. Well, you've got three provinces. I think it's going to be important that you sit next to the presenter, so that when you respond, and then the MEC sits on the, sit in the middle. Yeah, you've got three provinces. You've got Southern, you've got Kita, again, great, because 5 minutes is over now. How? How? Could you take about 5 minutes? the right. Is that right? Yes. Is that right? Okay. Bye. Can we take our seats? Can we take our seats at the back? This is my meeting, not yours. Salani pass. Salani pass. Thank you, colleagues. We are going to allow Limpopo to present to us. They are here, they are going to introduce themselves, but as I've already said, we have the MEC, Honorable Jerindo. He is brand new in the portfolio, but he is not new in government. So there is nothing new about doing work for the people of South Africa. So I don't even want to keep on harping about how new he is, because he's very old actually. I'm going to allow him to say a few words and then introduce the team. But I'm not sure whether the DG wants to speak immediately before the team presents, or allow them to present after. Yeah. So we will allow the MEC then to take the podium and talk to us. Thank you very much.
No, thanks. Chairperson and members of the committee, thanks for the welcome. Indeed, I'm a week old in this position. But I have a team here of from Limpopo that is going to go take us through the presentation. So for the HOD, the CFO, and the acting DDG, Human Settlement, they will take us through the presentation. And if at the later stage you are required to comment, we'll do that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm handing over to you then, Tim. You know how you have placed yourselves in terms of presentation. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members, MEC, DG, HOD, and colleagues. The presentation of for Limpopo Human Settlement in the main has the following heading. It could be the business plan, 1718 business plan, expenditure and performance analysis, recovery plan, program specific intervention, and lastly, way forward. The purpose of the presentation is to appraise the portfolio committee on progress relating to implementation of Human Settlement Development Grant for Limpopo Province, and also to highlight the recovery plan that the department has embarked on, also outlining the impact of the plan on performance so far, and providing a way forward. The business plan, this table in the main indicates the budget per program. I'll just summarize it. The 1.4 billion at the bottom includes the rollover of 87 million, which was granted from last year. It's now included on this. The allocated budget for 17-18 was 1.3 and odd. Then in terms of size, the target for size is 5,151. While for units in various programs is 10,895. Most of the rollover which was approved was added onto rural housing, which increased the numbers in terms of the units and the targets for 2017-18 financial year. This graph in terms of expenditure analysis, we are sitting at 553 million, which translates to 39% of the of the total budget of 1.4 billion. And our average expenditure per month is 79 million. We were expected to be spending 94 million per month, 94.8. The graph indicates very clearly that we are not doing very well. The blue line is what we should be spending, while the red one shows where we are currently, I mean the actual expenditure. And if you take that trend in a straight line, it shows that by the end of financial year, we would not have spent the whole 1.4 billion. And in terms of housing deliveries, the units that we've delivered is 5,487 units on all housing programs, which translates to 50% of the annual target, including the rollover. The average delivery per month is 782. We were supposed to be delivering 1,084 per month. And I just need to indicate on this one, if you look at the delivery sits at 50% while expenditure is at 39%. This is mainly because most of the units that could not be completed or rolled over from the last financial year were mainly towards completion, which means we were not necessarily paying for a full housing unit. Instead, we were completing that. Hence, you see that we spend less than the target that we are having. Again, in terms of service side, so far, out of the 5151 size that the target for the financial year, we are sitting at 1,389, which translates to 26% of that target. And we are delivering currently 191 sites per month, whereas we should be delivering 762 sites. The graph indicates that we started on a very good note, but somewhere along the line, there are issues which I'll highlight later in the presentation as part of our challenges. Expenditure and performance analysis. This table in the main looks at which programs are spending how much. If you look at OXCAP for argument, or rather accreditation of municipality, we have not yet spent anything. And land parcel, nothing yet. While on OXCAP, we have spent 43.7, which translates to 87%. And in terms of rectification, 25 million out of the 33.5, and delivered 226 units out of 500. FLISP, we have not yet spent anything on this current financial year, while NHB on enrollment, we have enrolled units that we are currently building. Worth noting on PHP and emergency housing assistance is that while we did not spend anything on this, we delivered a number of houses, which is a result of the money that was transferred to HDA in the previous financial year. The HDA is currently utilizing that funding to realize the unit this current financial year. Again, in terms of IRDP, we spent 45 million, which is 23%, and the CRU, we have not yet spent anything. That's where we also transferred some money to HDA in the last financial year. On rural housing, we are sitting at 49% in terms of expenditure, while we spent 423. And provincial specific, which includes military veterans, we've only delivered three units for military veterans out of 100. And as I indicated earlier, we are sitting at 39% of expenditure. Our recovery plan identified four main challenges that hampered delivery and expenditure. The first one is delays in claims processing and payments, and ineffective project and contract management processes, delays in procurement processes, and lastly, ineffective project planning and pipeline, which is basically preparing projects for implementation. In the next table, we're discussing those challenges in terms of what has been identified and what action was taken and progress currently. Under claims processing and payments, the inefficiencies were identified as inspection processes and preparation of claims by service providers for the work done and approved. Limited administration processes that have seen claims taking longer than necessary to reach claims and subsidy admin units and administrative errors relating to those claims, which again delays in the processing of the submitted claims and payment certificates across all programs, resulting in under expenditure. In the main, the turnaround time for claims has been delayed due to most of those errors, and also lengthened process, or there are too many hands handling claims. Then in terms of action, intensive continuous assessment and logging of claimable milestones, preparation, submission, and payment of claims turnaround time with the use of recently developed electronic project management system, or EPMS. This our PMU has developed this, which was piloted in the Sekhukhune and will be rolled out to other districts during November. And again, as part of the action, rigorous assessment of payment certificates prior to processing, and the PMU assisting administratively in assessing the claims prepared by contractors through their offices that are established in all districts in order to improve efficiency in the process and the turnaround time. Continuous monitoring of the claims process turnaround time on daily basis to identify pressure points in the system, as well as measure certain steps within the process to minimize handling of certificates. Under project and contract management, the issues were identified as in the main gross underperformance by some contractors who failed to deliver as per agreed implementation plan, due to majority of them having limited financial and project management capacities. Limited project management capacity within the department. Again, limited enforcement of punitive measures on underperforming contractors. Also, delays in decision making on contract extensions, scaling down of scope, and termination. And in terms of the action, in assisting the contractors having capacity challenges, the department is recognizing sessions that are entered into by contractors with subcontractors and material suppliers. Again, the department through the PMU avails technical expertise or advisory assistance to those contractors who have challenges in project management in order to ensure that there is timely delivery of claimable milestones meeting the agreed specifications. And the establishment of contract management committees as part of the governance structures in the department. Weekly assessment is done on the revised implementation plans and contract reviews on monthly basis, and also finalization of outstanding contractual extensions or scaling down and termination. And currently there are 13 sessions under implementation, and the department continues to evaluate credibility and processing of the sessions. The PMU and COXTA management holding monthly technical meetings at district level and have intensified technical support to all contractors. And contract management was established in September, as I indicated earlier, as part of the governance structure. And also, out of that, there is contract management technical committee, which
has been established, and that reviews contracts on a monthly, while weekly assessments regarding the implementation plan are done by the district. And this contract management technical committee advises the contract management committee in terms of actions to be taken relating to performance of contractors. The department has finalized all outstanding contractual extensions or scaling down and termination. Meetings are held with project managers and contractors in order to accelerate delivery and expenditure. Throughout all this process, there are contractors who have grossly underperformed and those have been terminated. And in terms of procurement processes, there were a number of units in a number of programs which needed to be concluded, e.g. 2002 rural housing, earmarked for 13 high-performing contractors who are on our database. Our database was developed in the last financial year. And then 6,000 rural housing units earmarked for additional 72 contractors who were added on the database recently. Then 500 units under blocked or rectification, 400 units for emergency housing program, and EPHP 100 units, while military veterans program at 100 units also. And all these appointments are expected to roll over into the 18-19 financial year. And we do recognize that the imminent risk of disruptions in terms of delivery during the contractor's break, which normally is around the second week of December up to maybe the first week also of January. And the rainy season is also taken into consideration. In terms of the action, the department has concluded appointment of the 13 high-performing contractors using the provisions of the SOP or standard operating procedures, which was developed in order to manage our database for the 2002 units. And we've also considered the appointment of 72 contractors to implement the 6,000 rural housing units. And the department has appointed HDA to implement EPHP, Emergency Housing Assistance, Military Veterans, and additional 5,000 units through their database, or rather having their high-capacity contractors who should be able to deliver on mass scale. As part of the progress, the 13 contractors for 2002 units were completed. The appointment was completed during the month of October. The contracts have been signed for all 13 of them. Four contractors have been introduced to respective municipalities. Then the remaining nine will be introduced and expected to take site in the week of the 6th of November, which is this week. Appointment of the 6,000 units was completed in October as well. All contract signing has been done. Contractors are expected to take site by the end of this week, by the 10th of November. HDA is also being appointed, as I indicated, and to deal with EPHP, Military Veterans, Disaster and Rural Housing. And for EPHP, Military Veterans and Disaster, it is expected that they will extend the scope of the contractors that are on site, which in order to ensure that there is no break in terms of delivery. And the last identified challenge was project planning and packaging. This aspect affected two programs, namely the services and rural housing programs. In terms of the services, six contractors were unable to commence with projects due to the development areas not being ready. And they service providers have to be appointed based on the municipal needs and the information that the areas were ready for implementation, in that there were all the documentation in place in terms of what the municipalities informed the department as per their needs. And again, rural housing program, there were 15 contractors which were appointed earlier in the year,
for 4,037 units, and they had a number of units which were scattered. And that in itself made it a bit difficult to upscale delivery as the units were far apart from each other. And most of those fell under mayoral discretionary allocation. Mayoral discretionary allocation in the main, each municipality is allocated a number of units. And out of those number of units, you find that there has to be like 50 units which the mayor, in identifying needy families or families that are distressed, can be allocated those funds. And as a result of the above, the recent misalignment of some of the projects in the 17-18 business plan, and the revised business plan has been submitted to national investment and awaiting approval. And the action, the servicing of sites affected 2,803 developmental areas or sites, and relocation has since been done for the service, for the servicing of sites, and contractors have established sites after the engineering services designs were completed. And for those currently 279 sites have been serviced, and relocation of the development areas has been done for rural housing, and contractors have since established sites, and construction is underway. The department is engaged in repackaging and planning for the development areas which could not be implemented this current financial year, so that they would be ready come 2018-19 financial year. And in the process, the readiness matrix will be strengthened, thus resulting in improved delivery on the project. The business plan is to, as I indicated, that it has been submitted. The business plan will be revised to reflect the above, and it was submitted during the month or rather window period of September. Worth noting is that the target units and size will not change or be reduced. What happened is when we relocated the service provider to a new area, the appointed units contractually were not affected, which basically means we're still maintaining the target. In terms of action, the six service providers having total allocation of 2,803 have since established sites, and clustering of units for those that were affected by scatter units has been concluded, and the packaging of project is underway and is to be concluded before the final draft of the submission, before the submission of the final draft of the business plan for next financial year. And the submission of the final draft of the business plan is in the month of February. And the business plan has been aligned currently with the projects that have been implemented in this current financial year, where original delivery targets are maintained. In terms of program-specific intervention and impact, accreditation of municipalities. In the 16-17 financial year, five municipalities were prioritized, and capacity and compliance assessment was completed for two of them, namely Polokwane and Lephalale. Polokwane for level 2, while Lephalale for level 1. The assessment has been done through the HDA, which has appointed a panel of experts, and the assessment panel to finalize accreditation plan for those remaining ones and those that are appointed for this current financial year is still to be done. HDA, okay, there will be a transfer of 1.5 million to HDA for the assessment of the last financial year's municipalities. And again, appointment will be made for capacity and compliance panel for five municipalities, and identified in 1780. This will be done through the HDA, which has a panel of assessors. And it is expected that the appointment will be done by end of November. In terms of land procurement, COGSTA has prioritized a number of municipalities and also pieces of land in those areas for 17-18 financial year. These municipalities are Greater Zaning, Greater Letaba, Maruling, and Elias Motswale. pre-acquisition feasibility studies and land valuation reports have been completed for all 5 properties identified in this municipality. The following actions are to be implemented, where some of them have already been done. Establishment and approval of land taxing, which has been approved in October. Land taxing meeting will meet in the second week of November, and after which COGSA will issue a formal mandate to the HDA by end of November after the land taxing has met and recommended for pieces of land to be acquired and processes to unfold accordingly. Then negotiations will be completed by late December 2017. Again, treasury approval is expected by end of January 2018, whereas the finalization of the acquisition by end of February. I don't know where I get this September. So by end of February. And then the progress land tax team has been appointed in terms of reference are approved. In terms of block projects, 226 units out of the 500 have been delivered to date, and expenditure is sitting at 75%. However, the performance of the 5 contractors that are on site still needs to be increased, and their contract has been extended to end of March 2018. The intensified hands-on approach of assisting contractors with capacity challenges, the department organizes sessions and facilitated by contractors and subcontractors and material suppliers will realize improvements in the delivery and expenditure. Again, the department through the PMU has availed technical expertise to assist these contractors which have challenges in project management in order to ensure that there is a delivery of sustainable milestones in order to meet the agreed specifications. And again, the above will be employed on the underperforming contractors. The remaining 274 units are set to be delivered in the middle of the first quarter. Then in terms of FLIS, Bendo Extension 100, we do have a project which is a multi-year and was expected to yield all our FLIS numbers in the province. But the contractor is underperforming and yet to deliver any FLIS subsidies despite completing 34 units to date. Apart from the walk-ins, there are currently no any other active projects in the province which can yield FLIS units. And there is a high risk that the available funds will not be spent, thus the department will please to consider reallocating the funds to performing programs. And in terms of action, the contract for Bendo Extension 100 will be reviewed where the department will take a decision on scaling down or termination of the contract and appointment of new contractors for their outstanding work. Again, the department has partnered with Resima Housing Finance, which is a subsidiary of ANDTS, in order to assist in the administration of the program. Engagements are underway to improve the marketing strategy and application of less stringent criteria of qualification to aid in increasing the FLIS subsidy. Yeah, I just need to indicate that most debt market beneficiaries have a challenge with the banks in that they do not meet the strict criteria as set by the banks. And it is expected that Resima will be more flexible and amenable to those beneficiaries for them to be able to have housing rather be involved in the gas market. And again, there are engagements with mining companies in order to increase fleet subsidies where mining companies are affording their employees opportunities to own properties. In terms of the progress, fleet subsidies have been registered on the vendor extension and the completed units. Then in terms of NHBRC enrollment, most of our units have been enrolled, those that are currently being implemented, and we've also did pre-enrollment
of the 2002 and the 6,000 that I indicated earlier. And the NSBRC will issue an invoice of 21 million by mid-November, which will obviously contribute to the expenditure of in the department. And then on EPHP and military, and emergency housing assistance. The reason why I'm clapping these two together is because the HDA has been appointed to deliver them. In the May, there has been some deliveries relating to them, e.g. EPHP, 89 units, as I indicated earlier, that these are units that are rolled over from the last financial year, which could not be delivered, and with last financial year's money transferred to HDA. And on emergency housing assistance, 303 units. And for this current financial year, HDA has been appointed to deliver 100 and 400 units respectively for EPHP and emergency housing assistance. And again, there will be intensified hands-on approach in order to ensure that there will be deliveries of the remaining units by end of November. And the new units that are recently appointed, construction is expected to commence by the end of November. This is where we indicated that HDA will extend scope of work for the contractors that are already on site. This new allocation is expected to, for both programs, is expected to be delivered by the end of financial year. Installation of services, service sites in terms of ISU and IRDP. We have indicated earlier that the underperformance was as a result of planning deficiencies which required relocation, and this affected six contractors. The relocation has been done as part of the action. The relocation have been done and construction has commenced. This after completion of all the engineering design, and their contract has been extended up to the end of financial year. The areas that were deemed not ready for implementation this year are being packaged for appointment and implementation in the next financial year. All the projects are expected to be completed by the end of the financial year, as the service providers have already established the site. The CRU. Under CRU, we've got three projects. One is in Marapo, which is in the Lephalale area, and Chikota in Makado, and Dalana CRU in Greater Tzaneen. The Obani in Marapo, the contractor is on site, and the overall expenditure, the overall progress is at 37%, which consists of excavations, foundations, foundation walls and ground floor wall plates, which are in progress. I'll just give the whole technical jargon on this one, and maybe indicate to the committee the challenges that we had in terms of this in terms of this project. The contractor took site in December 2016. This one of the challenges that affected this project was the re-advertisement had to be done due to non-responsiveness of the bid. Again, the NHBRC enrollment was not completed when the project started. There were labor unrest on the project. Again, non-payment of subcontractors by the main contractor. And invasion of the site by informal dwellers. In terms of the invasion, on that particular old hostel, the way people stayed there, most of them were relocated to a temporary place which had services and decent, I would say, decent shelter. And while the contractor was busy establishing sites, other people came in and invaded the area. Then, in terms of the Chikota CRU, there is an outstanding appointment for, we still need to develop terms of reference have been developed for construction after
The feasibility study was completed in March. Again, the Dalarna CRU, we're still awaiting to appoint the service provider for feasibility study and packaging. Then in terms of the action for Lephalale, since the contractor is on site and most of the challenges, except for the additional informal dwellers who invaded the site, the contractor has been requested to submit a recovery implementation plan in order to intensify delivery and meet the target of 250 units for this current financial year. I just need to indicate that the implementation plan was submitted and rejected due to not responding to upscaled or intensified delivery, and we are expected to receive it this week. And again, the additional 50 families that have invaded site will be moved by the end of November with the assistance of the municipality. And again, in terms of reference for appointment of the contractor for quarter to be finalized by end of August, has been finalized, and we are expecting that the process will unfold where appointment will be made in January 2018. Again, just to as information, feasibility normally comes before construction. And again, in terms of Dalarna CRU, feasibility study is still to be finalized, or the appointment for feasibility study still to be finalized by our procurement processes. The progress, as I indicated earlier, Lephalale CRU is sitting at 37%. Chikota terms of reference have been finalized to be advertised during November. By February 2018. Then conclusion of the appointment of for Dalarna CRU feasibility seems to be finalized, and it's expected to be done during the month of November 2017. In terms of rural housing, there has been general underperformance of appointed contractors, particularly on the 2016-17 contractors. Majority of them had limited capabilities in terms of financial and project management. The department has appointed 2,002 units, or rather rural housing units, for 13 high-performing contractors. These are those that performed better than the others, so we're on the database, and the appointment was finalized in October 2017. Then additional 6,000 rural housing units was appointed for 72 contractors on those that have been recently added on the database, on the departmental database. Again, the HDA has been allocated 5,000 units for high capacity contractors in order to upscale delivery and expenditure. Intensified hands-on approach, which I indicated earlier, of assisting the contractors with technical skills, recognizing sessions with material suppliers and subcontractors will be employed on the underperforming contractors in order to see upscalement of the delivery. Then again, the department has concluded the appointment of 13 high-performing contractors using the provisions of standard operating procedure for 2,002 units, and the 6,000 that were appointed being new contractors which were added to the existing database. Under this program, rural housing, the current delivery sits at 4,866 from all contractors, both that are on the 2016-17 and 2017-18 database. And there has been an increase of 888 units over the past 4 weeks, from an average of 661 units delivered per month. And the target for end of October was supposed to be 5,649 units as per the business plan. In terms of military veterans, there has been gross underperformance on the program in the financial year. That has seen only 3 units delivered in the year. And the underperformance was largely attributed to economic viability of constructing a 75 square meter
demanded by the beneficiaries as opposed to a 50 square meter house at the policy. The biggest challenge here was also the fact that while the house size was increased, the province did not top up on the quantum, hence the construction of the 75 square meter unit was not economically viable for contractors. Two of them had to return the units to us and say, sorry, I cannot continue with the project because I will definitely lose money. And obviously this is where the province acceded to the demands of the military veterans. The action, there is a min-max decision which was taken for provinces to revert back to 50 square meters as prescribed by national policy, and also a ministerial directive was issued to provinces, specifically Limpopo and Free State, to comply with policy on 50 square meters. The department has rescinded the decision on house sizes, and it is expected that we are now geared to deliver on the 50 square meter houses for military veterans. This, we believe, will upscale the delivery. Then in terms of title deeds, our service providers for title deeds were appointed late, and one of the challenges was that the conveyancers applications were rejected at the deeds office due to the name changes of municipalities, those that were affected by disestablishment and amalgamation of some municipalities. And I think, still talking about deeds office, the Limpopo province established, or rather, the deeds office was established in Limpopo province, and the province had to close the account in the Pretoria office and open a new account. That in itself had an impact on the processing of the, or rather, on conveyancing. And the other challenge is unproclaimed township, which in the main are the old R293 towns. ADA and ministerial task team members have been roped in to assist with proclamation of the township and also to fast track the process of title deeds. I just need to indicate that the province has signed an MOU with National, and we still need to finalize the service level agreement with the task team member in terms of ensuring that all milestones or key deliverables are met. And service providers have been appointed from conveyancers on the database for 6,001 units. And the proposed new names for municipalities have been advertised for projection, for objections, and that advert has been closed, and there were no objections, and that is worth noting. And again, gazetting will be done. Currently, 1,777 titles are being registered and endorsed. This slide in the main talks to what I've just referred to in terms of title deeds. With your indulgence, Chairperson, can I skip this?
Please.
And then the next one also talks to military veterans, and I guess I also dealt with that. The mining town, Limpopo has four identified mining towns. It used to be five. One was Elias Musale, and Lim 476 had Sitakhomu and Greater Dubat, which is now amalgamated, then Tabazimbi and Lephalale. The challenges relating to deliveries in mining towns in terms of services and units, Elias Musale and Lim 476 do not have projects on servicing of sites due to a process of upgrading informal settlement, which is still underway. Town planners are still busy, and some of the delays are a result of authorization from the various departments, e.g. leaded with the environmental record of decision. Then Tabazimbi returned allocation of units as a result of not having development areas. And the intervention, service providers
have been appointed to formalize informal settlement in the Elias Mutualegi and Link 476 and Blue Township proclamation, and their contracts are in force up to the end of financial year. In terms of Thabazimbi retaining units, there are services that have been installed in the Thabazimbi municipality, and it's expected that the retained allocation will be utilized by Thabazimbi in order to construct top structure. This table in the main shows the budget that is allocated for our mining town. I'll just summarize. The total budget is 342 million and we have spent 102 million. The target for unit is 2,124, while delivery stands at 261. Target for size is 1,062, while delivery is 488. Contractual commitments. On this slide, we have indicated or unpacked what the department is contracted to currently. E.g., on the old contractors from 16-17 financial year, we still have to deliver 1,785 units, which are comprising of 439 foundations, 689 wall plates, and untouched units being 707. The remaining budget to deliver on all those figures and units and milestones is 133.9 million. And also on in terms of block projects from last financial year. This table in the main just indicates the number of units that we are contracted to and the totals that we are committed to in terms of units is 18,862, and for size is 3,794. Total foundations from all of them is 1,102, with 1,395 foundations, and untouched units of 16,365. This includes all appointments that were recently done, including the HDA. And the total commitment is 1.96 billion. And in terms of the way forward, the interventions that we highlighted earlier in terms of claims and contract management will place the department in a position to double the monthly expenditure from an average of 70 million to 120 per month. And this will be made possible by appointment of additional contractors to deliver 2,002, 6,000, and 5,000 units by the HDA. And further to this, all services contractors have finalized designs and are on site to implement their respective projects. The average delivery per month is expected to be 1,032 units and 759 service sites. And since the outstanding procurement has been done, namely 2,002 units for 13 contractors, 6,272 contractors, and 5,002 high-capacity contractors to HDA. And construction is expected to commence latest 15 November 2017. And we expect that the delivery and expenditure will be at upscale. The contractors that have been introduced to respective municipalities, the number is 4, as we indicated earlier, while the remaining 9 out of the 13 will be introduced and take size in the week of the 6th of November. And the 72 contractors have since signed their service level agreements and are expected to take size by the end of this week. The department will deliver at least 7,342 units by end of December, with the efforts of monitoring and the contractors to convert the milestones that we indicated earlier, 1,102 foundations and 1,395 wall plates, into completions that will yield 2,497 housing units. Again, all outstanding service sites is expected to be delivered by end of financial year. And the additional capacity in project planning and pipelining has been availed through the HDA and PMU that will result in addressing current planning challenges and enhanced project packaging and pipelining for the next financial year. I've already alluded to the number of units that are expected to be concluded by the end of December. And again, the projected expenditure by end of December for all programs is expected to be 266.3 million. Again, all outstanding service sites being the balance of the 5151, okay, being the 3,794 from the total of 5,151 units with a budget of 135.3 million is expected to be completed, which means what we are saying is we will be able to meet our target for this financial year and deliver all 5,151 service sites. And I've already indicated the fact that HDA and PMU have added capacity. Then in terms of the last slide, basically it shows our projections in all programs. To say, argument sake, during December we are, during this month of November we are expected to spend 137, I'm looking at the bottom, 137 million, and having delivered 1,045 units and 665 and so on in December and January, February, and March accordingly. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Limpompo, who's dying? Can you give that man water? Somebody is dying. Thank you very much. That's the presentation from Limpompo. We will allow the National Department to come when we respond after the questions have been asked. But thank you very much. You survived. You're done. Drink the water now. Thank you. Questions and clarities. Child was dying. Gave the water to the wrong person. Chauke, he's gone out. You are giving medicine to the wrong person. This man is not sick. Chauke is the sick one. But anyway, can we get questions and clarities? Bam, I see your hand is up. No, don't share now. Don't do that. Please don't do that, Honorable Bam. Otherwise, you are going to forfeit your right to speak. Honorable Bam, do you have your hand up? Okay. Honorable Bam, Honorable Baha, Honorable Horai, Honorable Malazi, Honorable Volmaran, Honorable Stone, Honorable Nkadimengi. In that order. Yeah. You are Ukululi Mampam, you must speak. Thank you so much. Can you help Man Pam with the speaking thing?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I shall open up by referring to a rumor. I don't know whether to say it's a rumor or a publication about some unmentionable problem with the sale of property or a farm in Limpompo, which is doing the rounds in the papers and all over. Can we first of all hear about that? They will expatiate as to what is going on. Number two, I would like to find out, there is a lot that is being said about contractors and their incapacitation. It would be nice to find out what means or what efforts the department is, the province is doing to capacitate the contractors. And are they not classifying them so that they give them work that is according to their capacity? Also, if these, when they issue tenders, they do not mix the startups with the ones that have already been labeled as the high-performing contractors in order to build the capacity of the ones that are still crawling. And also, if there is no classification of contractors themselves in their database. When it, and they go on to keep on, they go on giving them work, like in slide 20, I think, they have given them 6,000 units to do, and they are afraid that they are still raw and they are not going to finish that amount of work they have been given. Also, when it comes to the mayoral discretionary houses that are a privilege of only the mayor, are they sure that these houses are properly distributed to the deserving owners or the deserving community members? Because what happens sometimes is that some form of discrepancy occurs to such an extent that these houses actually are rented out by some of the mayors to their or given to their friends. Have they checked on that possibility? Also, the military veterans, have they now decided to beef up the finance for the contractors to speed up the delivery of the 50 square meter homes for the military veterans? Because they have the contractors had dumped the contracts because of financial constraints, where they were given 75 square meters to do with the funds for a 50 square meter house. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pam. Honorable Pam, can I start with the bees? Honorable Pam.
Thank you, Chair. No, my questions, Chair, are just three. I think one of them is a yummy name. You must have a limit. Let me say that I think Limpopo is telling us that we must not expect them to meet their target come the end of the financial year. Because you see, if you look at the time that we have now between now and the end of the financial year, effectively, December and January, there's not much that you can achieve. So they have February and the end of March, and that's the end. So for me, I think it would require a miracle, which I don't know where it would be coming from for them to meet their target. That's a starting point, Chairperson. But Chair, there's a pilot project that's going on in Sekhukhune in dealing with the EPMS or project management system, which would be rolled out in the middle of November. That's now the month that we're in, and the middle sometime next week. When would this project be evaluated to see if it's working or not, for it to